Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Being here, not there, should be encouragement to you that we, in fact, listen to feedback. Someone said, it seems like a long way when you're sitting over there to the sermon. So I thought, well, we can get in the middle. That's fine. I'll do that. So keep those constructive, patient, nicely said critiques coming, and we will try to make it work for everybody. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Several years ago, Smithsonian Magazine had an interesting article about how everything in America today is bigger than it used to be. The average person weighs more. Sorry, it's true. And our clothes sizes, as well as our wheelchair, airline, and movie theater seats are correspondingly bigger. And lots of other things not related to weight are also bigger, often much bigger. Houses, TV screens, stores, schools, the national budget, and debt, the list is long. It all made it just so very clear to me how deeply bigger is better is woven into the fabric of our modern American culture. And yet, I don't think we're alone in the more is better club. There has perhaps always been something about more that attracts the human mind. For example, I can't think of any of the ancient wonders of the world that weren't big. Always, it seems, this is what we think, that a thing's outer visible size is what counts. Who is the great leader? Well, the one who builds big towers, fortresses, castles, or temples. In today's gospel, our forebears in the faith are heard to ask Jesus, increase our faith! Note the exclamation point even in the text. Their mindsets seems to have been the typical one. They wanted more, something bigger, and therefore better. But I hope you've noticed by now that Jesus is prone to answer people with statements that aren't merely what everyone already knows. Indeed, there would have been no reason to crucify someone whose words and ways were what everyone already knew and agreed with. And so here, Jesus does not say, good, you are striving to get more. That's always the point. A thing's outer, visible size is what counts. No. Jesus' reply to his disciples' request for increased faith implies that size, the amount of something, especially something spiritual, is not even the point. Instead, Jesus says that the inner quality of a thing, especially a spiritual thing like a person's faith, is what matters. He tries to shift our mindset from visible quantity to invisible quality, to faith's inner nature. He is saying that faith, which is genuine, is powerful under God. Because if Jesus is talking about mustard seeds, size can't possibly be the issue, now can it? And truly, with the mustard seed, size in fact is not what matters. What matters is the life which is in it, the God-given ability to be sown in the earth, and dying to its present form to grow where it is planted, bearing fruit according to the plan of God. And maybe you see that Jesus and I are not talking about seeds, are we really? He's talking about, and in His name I am talking about, our faith today, What matters is the life within. The God-given ability to be sown and die to our present form and to grow where we are planted, bearing fruit according to the plan of God in our inner nature. Desmond Tutu, now deceased but once the Archbishop of the Anglican Church of South Africa, when asked once about the experiences which formed him, said, "One incident comes to mind immediately. When I was a very young child, I saw a white man tip his hat to a black woman. Please understand that in my country such a gesture was completely unheard of. The white man was an Anglican bishop, and the black woman was my mother." Years ago, when I became rector of St. Bartholomew's in Hartsville, it didn't take long to realize that for many who lived in larger cities of the diocese, like Charleston, and went to larger churches, like Christ Church, our congregation and town, shall we say, were not the center of attention or power in the diocese. I remember, for example, being discouraged when the editor of the diocesan newspaper referred to us in one article as Hartsdale. But a comment by our then Suffragan bishop helped me to reform my mindset about all of that. Bishop Skilton, upon learning about the mentor program we had started as part of the youth confirmation process, said, "This really ought to be a model for the whole diocese." That mustard seed-sized congregation had a heart in those years for the mission and ministry of Christ in the larger diocese. And so when it came time each year to give to a diocesan fund for a congregational development called Builders for Christ, a high percentage of the congregation, the members there, gave to that fund to buy new land for new churches, to build additions to existing churches, and to support new staff for growing ministries. It wasn't a big dollar amount, but the congregation-wide participation bespoke a genuine faith. And so another priest of the diocese came up to me once and said, "Ted, your congregation is obviously a leader in giving to Builders for Christ. Tell me what you do so I can help my people get where you are." A mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, and so its power cannot possibly come from its size. Jesus says that even the smallest things, like the tip of a white man's hat to a black woman whose child would see it and grow to become a powerful force of faith in the dismantling of apartheid, like one adult mentor taking on one youth during confirmation, or like one check each year to fund the building up of churches for the work of the gospel. These small things, Jesus says, because they are offered with genuine faith, are powerful under God. In the next few days, you will receive a letter from me about the ministry of annual giving. It is a good time to remember an incident in the life of Jesus and his disciples. He had commanded them to feed the hungry people around them. So they asked themselves, "How much do we have?" Do you see, it's the quantity question again. And decided that their resources, 5 loaves and 2 fish, were not large enough to respond to Jesus' command to minister to the people, the needs of the people who had come to him that day. So Jesus reformed their mindset by asking them a question quite different from, "How much do you have?" Instead, he in effect asked, "What are you going to do with what you do have? What is the invisible nature of what is inside you? Is there genuine faith in me, in your inner being, in your heart?" Jesus wanted to know. You see, when they trusted their mustard seed-sized resources to Jesus, when they brought them to him, to be offered up in thanksgiving to God and then shared with those in need around them, well, lo and behold, those resources fed a multitude because faith, which is genuine, is powerful under God. Once, when Mother Teresa spoke to a large audience in America, one of those who stayed afterward and got to meet her said to her, "What you say is so inspirational, but I look at the world and I see so many, many overwhelming problems, and I get discouraged, and I don't know where to start, or even if what little I can do will make a difference." And Mother Teresa told her, "Find one person in your family that needs you, and in love, help them." Next Sunday, we'll hear Luke tell of the time one man made one turn, bent one knee, and spoke one word of thanks. And though 9 other lepers were also cured of their disease by Jesus, it was only one man who heard, "Your faith has made you well." Not the size or the amount, but the life that is within is what matters. One tiny woman named Teresa can change the whole world, not so much by volume, but by the quality of the faith dwelling within her, shared one person in the family at a time. One man with genuine thankfulness in his heart can hear what the whole world longs to hear: "Your faith has made you well." And you know, of course, that it was one man whose inner life, whose very heart was filled with genuine faith, with genuine love, a man who never built a big tower or fortress or castle or temple, who willingly mounted the arms of the cross and changed the whole world forever. I don't think God has anything at all against that which is bigger. I don't either. There is nothing wrong per se with having more resources or with being big, with being a big church, which is a good thing since by some metrics we are one. Indeed, if those with an authentic inner quality of life, those with genuine faith, gather together, then the power of God which comes from such faith may be multiplied for great blessing. It is just that, bigger and more, and all that tends to go with that in our world are not in any way prerequisites or necessary for knowing and sharing in the life and power of God. If you or I, or anyone in all the world, even if they are only one, even if their resources are small, or if they themselves are broken, or are not beautiful, or winning in some way, the world understands those things. If any of us nurtures within and shares with others a genuine life of faith, Jesus says that person's life will have power under God. We have the privilege today to have among us Bishop Campicha, and when she comes from getting her foot x-rayed, his wife Sophia. I know. They are from the Anglican Diocese of Marsabit in Kenya. We are mission partners with Bishop Campicha and with his diocese. Each year, we ask each household to write one check for one purpose, to build one church that will make disciples. But here's what I have come to understand about that. We are now poised to make our 9th annual gift. Already, 6 churches and 2 diocesan guest houses for 8 projects already funded in the books. And I don't believe that we would have sustained this missional partnership for this long at this $20,000 a year level if we weren't also praying for them every Sunday and knowing that they are praying for us. That is, if our hearts, our love, our genuine faith wasn't in it, we would have found plenty of good reasons to have stopped the Tree Church project long ago. And yet, genuine faith has power under God. Increase our faith? A better petition would be to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to dwell in the faith we have now, that it might be genuine more and more. This year, our Tree Church appeal is a special, unique one for this ongoing project. We are not building a new church with this year's offering, but due to the lengthy and severe drought in Marzabit, we are sending it to literally save lives, to buy food and other humanitarian aid for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Tree Church communities. But I should warn you now that there is a chance that upon hearing this appeal, an appeal not unlike that made to the first disciples to feed the hungry crowd around Jesus, if you ask yourself the question, how much do I have? You may decide that your 5 loaves and 2 fishes are resources not big enough, large enough, to answer Jesus' call. So then, I must guide you, as your pastor, to a different petition. You should say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and dwell in my inner life, that its quality may be genuinely generous, genuinely loving, genuinely faithful, so that I may have power under God to feed those whom you call me to feed. In Jesus' name, amen.